big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, heroes. Tom Pounder here, and you are listening to the YM Sidekick Podcast. This is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And for the first time in about 188 episodes, I changed the front. Did you notice that I didn't do my typical, hey, 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 heroes? No, I did a hey! All right, so I changed the format. I hope you liked it a little bit. But the content remains the same, and the content today involves my friend Jeanette Yates. She's from one of my Florida friends, and she just got back from that church conference. And today I'm really excited because we kind of debrief a little bit about some of the things that she learned and how it applies to church communications. But again, even if you're not a quote-unquote church communicator, but you're a ministry leader in some way, these things that we talk about today really directly apply to you as well. So I would really encourage you to take a listen, hear what she has to say, and especially as we get into the Facebook part of the conversation and see what she has to share about Facebook and how we can all be, as we've talked about before, digital missionaries and be more equipped to reach out to those people in our world digitally. So it's really kind of a cool conversation. I'm really excited to have Jeanette on. So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation right now. All right, with me right now is the one and the only Jeanette Yates. Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Long time no talk.
I know. When was the last time we talked? What were you talking about?
I think it was sometime in the springtime or something. I mean, there was just lots going on this summer. We did talk about something, and now I can't remember.
I know what it was. We were talking about using technology to reach people with disabilities.
Yes. Okay, that's right. That is a strong passion of yours.
Yes.
And so that's right, because you were also doing stuff with Digital Bootcamp on that at the same time. So that's great. Well, how are you doing?
We're good. We're getting into the swing of things with fall, with, you know, not only just my family getting, you know, we started high school here in this household and all this kind of stuff. And so that's kind of crazy. And then of course, you know, church communicators know how it is in the fall.
Yes.
So we launched a brand new, kind of vision, or kind of, you know, it's not a different vision. We want to bring people to Jesus. Same. But you know, this kind of new way of framing it, and then also some outreach and mission initiatives. So that's been kind of fun to do. And so it's just been one thing after the other, just busy. But now we're staring Christmas down.
I know. Well, I know exactly. I actually told one of the guys I work with at church, he's relatively new. I said, hey, just for you to know, it's October now. And I'm kind of getting into like, hey, it's, you know, I love the pumpkin stuff. I love the Thanksgiving stuff. And then Christmas, I go all out for. So it's like, I mean, this is the time of year. I'm not going to weird you out, but I'm just telling you, I get into this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I always take my cues from like when the stores start, you know, promoting Halloween in like August. I'm like, oh, that's when I need to start thinking about Christmas.
That's right. Okay. Well, before we think about Christmas, tell me about a little bit about pumpkin stuff, because I'm curious, what's your do you like pumpkin stuff? Like pumpkin, like
I'm not a big pumpkin spice. Mm-mm.
No. Nothing.
Mm-mm. I mean, I'll eat it. I mean, I don't hate pumpkins. I don't, nothing against the pumpkins, but like, I'm not gonna go run out and buy the pumpkin spice, all the things.
Okay.
And, you know, I actually eat acorn squash and butternut squash and all these things year round. Yeah. So like, you know, we live in like a global, you know, we talk about this in communications, but I mean, you know, you can really get pumpkins anytime. And these companies, they hold that pumpkin spice just to create the scarcity, but really, you know, there's pumpkins everywhere.
There is pumpkins everywhere. And it's actually kind of funny. I did tell my friend, I said, I like pumpkin pie. I will definitely eat a lot of pumpkin pie now, but I will only eat it up until Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, I don't eat it. I don't touch it.
So what's your Christmas dessert? You do like pecan pie?
No, actually,
pecan pie?
I'll take any kind of pie, honestly. I like blueberry pie a lot. I like apple pie. But okay. Yeah, I don't, Christmas, I still just don't associate pumpkin pie with Christmas. You know,
yeah, so. It's a Thanksgiving thing for sure. For sure. Yes,
for sure. All right. Well, we've talked about pumpkins way too much.
Yeah.
You were just at a conference that I am completely jealous of.
I can't believe you weren't there. I'm sad.
Next year, I definitely have to go. I've been once before. I got to go again. Tell us a little bit about that church conference.
Yeah, so that church conference has a special place in my heart because it was the first conference. Well, and really, it's the only one I've ever gone to.
Really?
It was that good. Yeah, I don't go to any of the others. Well, it's the right time of year. It's the right distance away, and it's the right price.
Yes.
So
the price is awesome.
Yeah, the price is really good. So anyway, that church conference is a really unique conference because it's hosted by or run by Justin Dean and Van Baird, kind of put this together a few years ago. I think this was the fourth year. And it's all about digital church communication. So yes. They really deep dive into that kind of stuff, whereas some are kind of hitting on various different things, you know, maybe leadership or, you know, maybe the video production or things like that. And so this is really focused on digital communications. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of met all of the people that were going to be speaking at that church conference on Twitter. Yay,
yes.
Tom.
Yes.
Our favorite. And so 3 years ago, you know, when I heard about that church conference, first of all, I love the name because I love any kind of, you know, thing like that. It's kind of quirky. And I thought, oh, Atlanta, like I can get there. That's easy. Yeah. Like all that kind of stuff. And so I was really, just blown away by, walking into that room, and, 3 years ago and then every year since last year and this year, and just feeling like I was home, that I was with my tribe of people that understood how you can love church communication so much. And then other days want to like run away screaming. And you know, that's just part of,
yeah,
the gig.
It's the people that get you. I mean, you completely, like what you said, it's your tribe. They completely understand your day-to-day stresses and struggles. Mm-hmm. So if you're a church communicator, that church conference, I think, is probably one of the best things for you to do because they don't just teach you stuff, but it's very practical and hands-on, correct?
Yeah. So they it's, you know, so one, it's unique because of the nature of it. It's about digital communication. But then they do something else that's just really great. And that is they set up practical sessions. So you're getting practical tips you can use and takeaways that you can implement right away. Now I will say not every church can implement all the things right away, but you will walk away with a few things that you can do right away. But more importantly than that, they build in networking time. Mm. So each year it happens a little bit differently. Sometimes they have breakout sessions. Sometimes they, you know, meetups in various places. And then this year they had one of the sponsors provided lunch on site. So you didn't have to go anywhere and you could kind of stay together and mill about. And that is where the real magic happens at that church conference, is networking with other people that get you and understand. And, you know, you get to sit down with, you know, Nona Jones that works for Facebook and have a conversation. That's pretty cool. You know,
very cool. that is very cool. Yeah. I'm sure you were overloaded with tons of information and tons of great stuff that you got there. Again, not only seeing all the coolest people, the people that you've seen on Twitter and interacted with, but you get to meet them in person. So tell me a little bit about, some of the things that you got out of it. I want to call this almost like, what's trending in church communications or digital communications, stuff that you learned that you thought, hey, this is great stuff and this is very applicable to what we deal with on a day-to-day basis?
So the first day started off with Jenny Catron, and she talked about culture and how to lead cultural change, you know, how to create a culture, and all those things, which it was, is really great. And, you know, that's something that many church communicators kind of struggle with, especially those of us who we're not really considered leaders. We're considered administrative assistants.
Amen. Yes.
And so the idea that we're going to lead in any way is kind of scary for us. And, you know, I remember when I first started out as a church communicator, I was like, I don't even want to lead because that's a lot of responsibility. I just want to get a list of tasks and do it. Like, that's what I wanted to do. And to really understand that it's my responsibility to lead my staff, even if it's just lead the a shifting paradigm among my staff so that they understand, you know, you can put whatever title you need to on my door of my office. Mm-hmm. If you have an office, if you don't, people, I get it. I understand. But if you're, you know, you can call me whatever you need to, but just know that I do more than, you know, create a bulletin. Like, I'm trying to tell a story here. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, you know, champion the vision of our church, with communications. And so having her start off with this kind of idea of like how to lead, lead a shifting culture, or and how to define, you know, how to, you know, for some people they're like, what? Like, yeah. What do you mean? So she broke it down to like, how do you define it, how do you kind of create it, and how do you lead the shift? And so that was really great. And then of course Kenny Jane came in with his his practical tips, and he's always really practical. He talks about, this time he talked about promotion, participation, and personal connection with your communications and different ways to do that. His talks are always very practical. You know, he really, one of the things that he, I think he's really known for is you've got to just get in there and do it. Mm-hmm. You have to cut away some of that awkwardness. And, you know, he really believes that, you know, one of the things that he said, which is really good, this was my one big thing that he said, I've heard him say it before, but it's always good. He says, we can't just instruct people to invite their friends to church. We have to equip them to do it. Mm-hmm. So we can create our little post or, you know, whatever that says, you know, share this with a friend. But if we haven't created opportunities and equipped them to know how to do that, mm-hmm. That's a difficult, you know, that's something that we need to work on. So, you know, he really encouraged, you know, that the post that we're posting on social media that says, you know, invite a friend, that cannot be the first time we've talked to our congregation about what it means to extend an invitation. Yeah. And then, so that was really good. And I, you know, that's something that we always do, like, you know, we're just like, all we have to do is create this post and then everybody's going to invite all their friends to church. But, you know, is the event even something they would want to invite their friends to? He had us, you know, think about that kind of stuff too. So that was really good. But the biggest thing that I'm not going to be able to recap every speaker, right. But Mike Luke Kazuski, I think is how you say his name.
From Church Fuel?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Did I say it right?
Yes. I think you said it right.
Mike, I hope I said your name right. I know you're going to listen to this podcast. So he came out with a major attention grabber for many of us. And the name of his talk is Boring is Better. Hmm. Why Your Church Needs Your Skills in the Most Ordinary Way. And the gist of what he was saying is, you know, all that attention we give to Christmas and Easter and the big thing and mm-hmm. fall festival and all this kind of stuff, we need to take the energy that we use on the special stuff and put it into the regular stuff. Because we may have 50, 100, whatever guests or first-time visitors on Christmas or Easter, but we might have one every single week.
Yeah.
So are we paying attention to those ordinary things? And it says, if you improve anything in your church by 5% within 9 months, it will be twice as effective. Hmm. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But I just loved how, you know, for us, cause we're already sitting there in September. We may be even already done with, you know, some of the churches and they're already done with their Christmas planning.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Some of us are like me trying to figure out that Advent graphic. but, you know, and we've already moved on, but he's saying, hey, you know, if you're not spending time on what it looks like on a Sunday morning for guests to come in, or, you know, what it's like, you know, what's your coffee situation, you know, your gathering, you know, whatever that social gathering is in between services or whatever, you know, that may be something to focus on.
Yeah.
So that was really, I thought that was really significant.
Yeah. And, you know, actually I saw that, or a post or two relative to that of, it seemed like that caught a lot of people's attention while that was actually happening. And I agree with it completely, because again, you want to do everything excellent. And that's why I think some churches make Christmas or Easter no different than any other regular service, because they don't want to give special attention to just Christmas and Easter, even though it deserves special attention because of the birth of Christ and the resurrection. But they want to make everything normal, and they want to do everything excellent year round, not just for those two specific Sundays. So I think that's fantastic.
Plus, you know, that whole idea of like having all the bells and whistles for those special services, and then somebody comes back the next Sunday and they're like, wait, what?
Where's the live animals? Where's
the kids pets? Are like, it was fun last week because I got to play with a bunny rabbit and now there's nothing.
Yeah.
So, and he went on to talk a little bit more about, you know, the idea that, you know, there are certain ministries that are more important, and we hate, you know, we don't want to say that, but it's true. There are keystone ministries that are, you know, they're the ones that if they went away, the church would be fundamentally altered, and how to assess which ones those are, and then how to go about pouring more attention into those than maybe others. And he says, you know, sometimes we don't want to admit that, you know, we try to be fair in our communications and all that stuff. But he said, fairness does not need to be a virtue of your church. Which I thought that's pretty powerful. But yeah, he, you know, that was probably my biggest takeaway from, well, no, I can't say that because Brady also talked on day one. So,
Well, what other some quick takeaways did you get out of it that involved maybe a social media tip or a strategy that you thought, man, this was something new or fresh or a different angle that you didn't think about before?
So I'm going to jump over to day two, because like I said, I could go on and on. You know, I hadn't even touched on what Brady Shear from Pro Church Tools talked about. But, you know, if you follow him, he's talking about what he talked about at the conference. He's talking about this week on his social media feed. So go grab it, right? You know, let's see what week is this. It's the first week in October. So you can, you'll listen to this later, but you can go back, look at the first week of October for that. But the thing that had me like standing up with my arms raised saying preach, was the opening of day two was Nona Jones. And she is, of course, I don't have her title written down here, but she is essentially the faith-based partnership, you know, coordinator or director. She's the one in charge of kind of helping faith-based partnerships happen with Facebook. So she works for Facebook, and that's her job. So I just think, first of all, can we get a shout? I mean, hallelujah for Facebook thinking, hey, you know, this is one of those types of communities that, you know, could use our platform. Let's figure out how to do that.
Yep.
So, her talk was called From Social Media to Social Ministry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I really liked about this talk is we talk a lot about our jobs being ministry and not administrative assistant. We just were, you know, commiserating about that a few minutes ago, but practically we're still focused on like the technical things, like what am I going to schedule? How am I going to market this? But you know, we still kind of focus on that. What are my engagement numbers this week? That kind of thing. And she really caused a kind of a shakeup, for me. And it was because it's something I feel passionately about, you know, see earlier podcasts about using Facebook to reach people who are disabled or homebound. Yeah. What she said really made a big, big impact on me. She said, we need to be thinking about the fact that, here's one of the stats she shared. She said 3 to 4 people profess Christianity. There are 350,000 local churches in the United States. 4 of 10 Americans report attending church every week, but statistics say only 2 in 10 do, which I'm like, those people lying. And then she said, more than 30,000 people every month search the phrase church online. Not online church, not the, but church online. But their results are not, there's not a lot of church online. Yeah. So she says they're not getting the results that they could be getting. And then she said, when did church become a program to watch instead of a people to be? And so her call to us as church communicators is to think more about what we do in our online ministry as a ministry. Yep. And remember that it's not about how many people are following us, but how many people are following Jesus through us. Mm. And so, you know, you ask for a practical thing or a strategy. And I think, you know, that's a big blanket statement, obviously. Yep. But if you think about what you're posting, like when you're trying to figure out what do I post, what do I not post, what Keystone Ministry gets talked about, what doesn't, if you're thinking about, will this in some way through engagement or connection or inspiration, will this help people learn more about Jesus, bring them closer to following Jesus or move them further along in their path? That kind of affects your strategy. Yeah. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on about everything that she said, but she really wants to encourage everyone to embrace this idea of discipleship.
Yep.
Online, not just here's our worship service, but actual, and you know, there are people that just put it up there and that's it. And then there's the churches that put up their service, but have that interactive, you know, online host, which is kind of the step beyond, right?
Yeah.
You know, just having it broadcast. And then there is this idea of like, okay, well, that's on Sunday, but what are we doing the other days of the week? How are we inviting people who either aren't coming to our church because they're not part of our church, they're far away or whatever, or aren't coming to our church because they can't, because they're disabled or elderly? How are we discipling them? How are we giving them opportunities to disciple, and how we can use Facebook to do that? And so she talked a lot about groups and some of the features that are coming, and some of the features that are already there, and just ways that churches can use groups to go beyond just, you know, sharing prayer requests or whatever. Not that that's not important, but let's actually get into true discipleship here.
Yeah, well, I agree with you completely on this. And it's something that I'm pretty passionate about, the whole thing of, this isn't my phrase, I stole this from somebody else, but I like to say just digital missionaries. We are all digital missionaries as individuals. I mean, then we have the church as well. But in what we can do, especially in this day and age where there's so much social media and online stuff can be so toxic these days, we have an opportunity to bring hope into the conversation. And so, and it's an active choice. And our hope comes from Jesus, and we have to communicate that to people. And so I when I started seeing that the other day too, when you guys were posting the kind of tweets and all that kind of stuff, it really struck a chord with me, because it's something I completely agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you were mentioning seeing it. I'm sure you were following along on Twitter. And so people can also go search that hashtag, ThatCC, on Twitter. You're going to find a ton of people's, you know, I was tweeting as fast as I could, and there were still people beating me like.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, come on, guys. Well, it's so funny, because my first year when I went to that church conference, I had a PC. Okay. And so I don't know if you know about like trying to use Twitter on a PC, but it's just not. It's not. So I was having to like tweet from my phone. And well, and it was also the first conference I was like, oh, people are tweeting live, like right now I can, you know, so like, I didn't even think I took notes. I just read from the tweets. But then the next year, you know, I was able, actually last year I didn't, I had my PC too, but a friend of mine helped me out. So this year I had my Mac, so it was a little bit smoother. But, you know, I really think now, certainly that church conference is not the only conference out there, and there are lots of great ones. But, you know, like I said at the beginning, you're always going to walk away with some practical tools. And they are, that church conference and then Sunday University, I think is what their kind of like year round thing is. That is, you know, another place that you're going to find resources. You know, one of the great things that's happened also from that church conference is many people like you, Tom, have said, you know, I can, you know, I want to have a group of people. I want to have my tribe together and have us share together. So that's one of the great things I like about your digital boot camp as well, is that we can all come together as church communicators, and we all have different things that we're good at. You know, you've got some people that websites their thing, and some people maybe go on and on about Twitter all the time, perhaps. You know, but you give us all a space to share what we've learned. And so that's really helpful too. So shout out to you, Tom, for a digital bootcamp.
Well, thanks. And I appreciate, I mean, you guys all have like so much stuff that, again, student ministers, kid ministers, adult ministers, that we're so focused on other things that the church communicators can just offer insights to help us all become better at it. And again, I think we live in a very digital and online world, and it's only going to get more and more digital, more and more online. Mm-hmm. And the way we do things is going to be different. And that's why I think it's so important that there is conferences like that church conference, and there's groups like Sunday U, and everything. I mean, listen, everything that Justin Dean does is awesome. So you got to follow him.
Right.
You got to follow him. You got to check out what his stuff. And I'm going to have a whole bunch of links on the show notes here. But you also have to check out your podcast. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Come on.
So I, along with my friend Megan Howard, we are both, we are two church girls and a microphone. And so last year at that church conference, we decided to start doing a podcast together. Really, we focus on just church communications in general, but we're really aiming towards the small church. And then of course, because we're women, we, you know, like to talk about maybe some of the ways that kind of affects what we do or impacts our take, you know, mm-hmm. We, and, you know, I think also, you know, she comes from a theological background. You know, she is a pastor at her church. I am from, like, I'm a storyteller. Like, I was teaching Pilates a few years ago, people doing a blog. Like, you know, I have a different perspective on things. And so, you know, that's another thing to consider too, is, you know, when we talk to churches in our podcast, we're thinking about that everyday person that just kind of stumbled into the role of church communicator, and they're just trying to figure things out. And sometimes even the stuff from that church conference or some of the bigger church communication groups, it's like drinking from a fire hose. It's very confusing. And, you know, like we tease each other all the time. That people sometimes, especially during this time of year, they're getting ready to do their Christmas setups and everything. They're like, be sure to post a picture of your Christmas stage. And, you know, they're posting all these like really fancy produced things. And I like take a picture of the Chrismon tree up on next to the, that's how we roll down here in the South, in our small churches. You know, there's a Chrismon tree up there. That's Merry Christmas. So that's, and the colors change, you know, but that's it. You know, there is no stage set up. And anyway, just little things like that. So sometimes you hear this stuff and you're like, I don't have a stage set up. You know, I'm just lucky if my pastor remembers to change a stool, you know, like all these things. So, you know, we kind of hit that small church, you know, kind of break it down.
Well, which is so important, because let's just be honest, majority of the churches are small churches, you know, and they're never going to be the mega church. And I actually think the trend is going back to being, there's a lot of, I work in a church right now that's over 1,000 people every week. And there's a lot of times I wish I was in a church of 200 people a week. Yeah. And, you know, and there's trade-offs to that, but I love that you're focused on that and you're about equipping smaller mm-hmm. churches with that, because you guys are in it, you guys know it. And then it's very helpful because you guys have done this for a long time. So this is really cool.
So we launched last year, and then like life happened, and we've taken like a, I don't know, 6 month hiatus. And then we go back to church conference this year. A few of our mentors, in the church communications world kind of lit a fire under us and said, hey, what's up? You know, you need to get back on it. So we went ahead and we recorded one last week. We're going to record one again tomorrow. and try to get going. And we're also, I'm really excited because one of the things that I want to do is interview women in ministry. And of course, like I said, we don't want it to be like, this is a podcast for, just for women.
Right.
But I do think that, you know, there are many women women in church communications, partially just because of the nature of the job and how sometimes, you know, you're volunteering in some certain area. And then the next thing you know, boom, you're the church communication person. And that's just the way it happens. But, you know, I really feel like they have a lot to say and a perspective that's slightly different from some of the people that came into church communications from maybe a marketing or a production perspective.
Yep.
Although some of the women have come with that perspective as well. But just to hear their voices, I think is going to be kind of exciting. So I'm looking forward to kind of launching that arm of it.
Well, I'm excited to hear all of this stuff. So, and I know your last one that you just did was kind of like you talked on about that church conference a little bit too. So anybody who wants to learn more about that church conference, we're going to have a bunch of links, but we'll also link up to the podcast as well, where you guys talk about that. So good.
Yeah.
Well, Jeanette, this was fantastic. This was entirely, we have to talk sooner rather than later. And again, I always see you on Twitter, so that's always a plus. But we actually have to talk, so this is kind of nice.
Yeah,
so.
This is nice. I appreciate it. And I really, you know, I really hope that people, as you're kind of listening to some of the stuff that we shared for that church conference, or if you listen to the podcast, or you have any questions, I encourage you to reach out to me. I'm always, especially on Twitter, at Jeanette Yates. I love to help people figure this stuff out. And if you're in the digital boot camp with Tom and I, please just shout me out in there and I'll help. Because I really, really feel passionate about taking a church that's kind of new to this whole thing and then trying to figure out digital and really bringing them into like, let's break it down. What does your church need? What do your people need versus what the quote best practices coming from all the voices are, you know?
Yeah. And you are so good on social media. So seriously, if you do reach out to Jeanette, she will answer and she will talk to you and she'll be happy to help you. So definitely you want to hook that up. It's great. We discovered each other through Twitter. So this has been fantastic. So,
and now, you know, people were talking about Twitter being dead. You don't hear that as much anymore.
Oh, no. I mean, listen.
Maybe for better or for worse. I don't know. But
I think it's fantastic. Everyone says it's dead. Actually, the stock is doing much better than it has been. The reality is when you have – this is what I always like to come back to is that when news agencies or people or entertainment people are talking about a celebrity and they talk about something, they always send out their tweets. They don't send out their Instagram posts or their Facebook posts. It's majority tweets. Mm-hmm. People are on Twitter. That's what they are. And so it's that's where you need to be. Check out some hashtags and do that. So
be there or be square.
That's right. All right. Well, so nice talking to you again. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure. We'll do it again soon.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Jeanette. I love having her on, and honestly, after the conversation, we actually talked probably for another half hour or so more just about different things, and so she's got a wealth of knowledge, and she's got great insights. So definitely follow her. I have all her links on the show notes, but I also have links with that church conference and Sunday U and Justin Dean as well, because he's a great resource, and you know, he's brought all of us together in a lot of this. So I'm appreciative of him, and so is Jeanette. But again, I would love to hear your thoughts. Did you go to that church conference, or have you seen something that is trending digitally or social media wise that you feel like you need to share? I would love to hear that, because we want to know what's trending so we can make adaptations so that we can have that digital ministry, that online ministry that is very effective for us at all in, you know, in what we do. So definitely share it with me. I'm on Twitter at TA Pounder. I'd love to carry this conversation online, especially if you're on Twitter. So that's it. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. If you enjoyed the podcast, definitely go to iTunes and subscribe to it. Or you can go to ymsidekick.com, and I've got my blog there. I've got some vlogs, my Twitter ebook, and the podcast there as well. And you can subscribe to Google Play on it as well there. So go to ymsidekick.com for all the content there. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.